This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Label Clothing Company. They have been a huge supporter of mine for many years now. And anytime you see me wearing a dress shirt or a suit, it is from them. Everything is custom made. And anyone who knows me knows I hate wearing suits and I hate wearing dress shirts. I not only look dapper, but the clothes feel great and wear really well. So anyone in the need of a custom suit, definitely hit them up. You can find them online at label.co. What is up, everybody? Today, I am joined by my guest, Coach Lee, and we get into everything from mindfulness to life's purpose to putting in the work and not making complaints about it. Lee just gives us some amazing insights on how failing is the best thing that can ever happen to you, and with each one of those failures is a life lesson and a life blessing. She puts in the work herself. She is a fit coach, a trainer, a mindfulness coach, and we just had an all-around amazing conversation. So without further ado, I bring you none other than Coach Lee. What is up, everybody? Today, I'm joined by my guest, my new friend, Lena, and I'm super excited to get into this with you. I mean, we had been connected through clients, and I know we play in kind of the similar circles. You get the brides ready for the day, and I take pictures of them. But more so than that, since we got connected, I've been following you on Instagram and social now for a few months, and I love what I see, and I love what you're doing, whether it's how you're building your business, looking to leverage that and grow your platform online. But also, I think more so is when you follow somebody on a daily basis and you kind of check in with them, especially as they're going to be a guest, I try to like research people and keep on with it, is you get after it, you know? So I know, and I can respect the fact that you're practicing what you preach here, mm-hmm. right? I see you getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning or way earlier than me, but you're putting the work in, not just professionally, but also personally, right? Yeah. So keeping yourself in shape and telling your clients, hey, if you're going to push people past their boundaries, you're pushing past your own boundaries. And I think that's really fucking cool. And I can respect and appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, before we totally jump into it, if you would just tell everybody who you are and a little bit more about yourself and what you got going on.
Well, I'm known as Coach Lee, as you know. Mm-hmm. That's something that I came across when I started. I was working at Orange Theory for like 2 years. Okay. And they used to call all the coaches Coach. Ah. And as I was starting to like really think of like a name, like a catchy name, and Lee is, my family's always called me Lee, short for Lena. Mm-hmm. But I've been a trainer for 13 years. I was a dancer for 20 years of my life.
Whoa.
I've started the business like LLC, Inc. Actually, sorry, not LLC, about 3 years ago. And I've done a lot of stuff over the last 6 years.
Cool.
But, yeah, so now I kind of come into the realm of being a mindset coach that works with brides, as well as we do body transformation through mindset coaching. So I kind of have been intertwining the two, and we've been really successful over the last few years.
Yeah, I've seen some crazy transformations online.
Yeah,
it's pretty
wild.
So just if you could like tell us a little bit. So I know you said there's a 12-week.
Yeah, so right now there's two programs. That is the 12-week Fit Bride program, and then I have the 12-week transformational program. So those are like the two. I kind of like dialed it down into two programs that we sell.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then where did this all, like, let's go back a little further, right? So how did this all start, right? I know you said you're 20 years as a dancer. How'd you?
Yeah, I started dancing when I was 8. I started working out in the gym when I was about 15. And that's where, like, literally the love for training and the way I felt was very, I just gravitated towards it. And then I started getting really healthy at 15. I started reading about being healthy and about food. So I've always started, I started eating healthy at a young age. Before that, I didn't eat healthy. I was actually being in a Puerto Rican Italian family, a lot of rice and beans with everything. And
yeah, for sure.
When I started working out in the gym, I started changing my eating habits.
Okay.
And then I started working at Curves, actually. First gym job was at Curves.
Gotcha.
And
for those of us that are not familiar with Curves.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a 30 minute workout. I think it's a 30 minute resistance workout that you go through, right? So it's like a circuit based.
Okay.
Certain clientele, obviously there's certain women that go there, like
predominantly women.
Yeah, mostly women.
Okay.
It's all women.
Okay.
And back then it was pretty big. I mean, yeah. So I was there doing like the desk work, and I was obviously a dancer. I used to work out all the time. So a lot of the women would ask me for advice with training and all that stuff. And I kind of started getting into it and giving them feedback. And, you know, you're in the center and you're like watching everybody. And I started giving them motivation and inspiration. And a few of the women started to ask me, why aren't you a trainer? Like, why haven't you become a trainer? I never thought before that of becoming a trainer ever. And so it was like, I remember it was like one woman was like, Lee, you got to be a trainer. And I started thinking about it. You know, I was going to school for business. I have a business degree in business management. And she kind of opened up my eyes. I was like, you know what? Let's do it. So I got like a regular little cert and I literally started, I applied to Lucille Roberts, which was across the street. And I started working there.
Okay.
And at the time I was in business school. I was dancing for this belly dance company called Belly Queen. I was belly dancing with them professionally for 2.5 years. So I was doing a lot of stuff. I, you know, being a trainer, and then I was teaching belly dance in Lucille Roberts. I was belly dancing in the city, going to business school, all at the same time. And then I was following the dancing career for a while. I was always a trainer though. Always. Okay. Since I was like 19, 20s, like is when I like became a trainer, and I've been a trainer since now. Damn. And then 6 years ago, I kind of gave up dance. And that's when everything skyrocketed. It's like when I actually found what my path is and what I was really meant to do, I just dialed really deep into that. And everything just was just climbing up the mountain.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because I think to your point is when you dialed in is right now, I think a lot of people are trying to chase multiple different things simultaneously.
Yeah.
And when you really focus in on one specific aspect, that's what you want, right?
Yes.
And obviously, you know,
exactly.
That's something you're passionate about. That's when you can make the greatest achievements instead of being split 5 different ways.
100%. And I think I learned that. And I learned that, you know, being a dancer, it's like, oh, I was dancing and then I'm doing like entertainment stuff. And then I'm like doing a photo shoot and I'm being a personal trainer. And it's like spread too thin.
Yeah.
You can't give 100% to something when you're like, you have so many different things going on. Right. I learned a lot though. I mean, you can do them, but you realize that you start getting to a certain extent in each, whatever you're focusing on each category. And when I literally just left dance behind and I was just like ready to give it up, and I didn't look at it as a failure. I looked at it as, that's not your path, Lee. That's not your path. Like, your path is, you're meant to like change people's lives. You're meant to create impact for people in a realistic way, in a real way. And that's when I remember I had a conversation with my sister. She really was like, Lee, you got to focus on one thing. And it's very hard for me to take advice from people. And I'm very close to my sister. I'm very close to my family. And she's like, you got to focus on one thing. And just by her saying that, I was already starting to think about it. And then I was just like, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. Focus on one thing. The minute I just focus on, okay, I'm going to be the trainer. I'm going to be just a trainer. I'm going to be the best trainer I can. I'm going to start, you know, just stay in the city, work in the city, build my business. And then started working at Crunch. And I had an opportunity to be on Bravo. Like, it's really crazy how it happened. It's really crazy. I met a few people at Crunch, trainers. They you know, brought me into this opportunity to be on Bravo. And then I auditioned for that. Like, and
is that
it was
the show
just
about
like
trainers?
Yeah, Workout New York.
Yeah.
I don't really talk about it anymore. But I'm not saying it in a bad way.
I don't watch a lot of Bravo, but I do remember.
I never was a reality TV person.
Yeah.
I hardly really watched that. Too much. And then when I got presented with this opportunity, I was a little hesitant. I was like, I don't know if I want to go on reality. And my friend at the time, he was like, Lee, you got to just come on. Like, they'll love your story. You know, small girl from Queens working her way up and like all this stuff. And then I really thought about it and I was like, you know what? If it's about my life, you know, and it has to do with training and like, then I'll do it. But if it's about like things that are nonsense, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't. It was actually a really great experience. At the time, I started competing in NPC bikini competitions. Cool. I was doing that for about 2 years. I did only 3 shows. Realized that it's not my path either. It's just, I don't want to be promoting that.
Yeah.
I don't speak poorly of it. I've learned so much. I learned so much competing.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Like, I never talk about this, but I did a lot of bodybuilding shows when I was younger. And I always say, like, the dedication it takes, though, is a great lesson because anyone who can eat boiled chicken or, you know, like tilapia with no salt or pepper on it for like 14 days straight and broccoli and spinach and not have a carbo, and then on top of that be working out harder than you ever had in your life and go through some serious mood swings, it teaches you that you can really – so that bodybuilding and getting ready for shows taught me that if you put your mind to something, you can really achieve anything.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing I got from it is like what true discipline is.
Yeah, and embracing.
Like, what does that mean? Like, what does discipline mean on every angle of your life?
And literally at that time, too, like for people who like if you apply that level of discipline to get down to, you know, whether it's bikini is going to be, let's say, 7% or 8% body fat, or if you're doing bodybuilding, 3% in some cases.
Yeah,
the level of dedication it takes to push your body to that limit.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like then floods into other areas of your life. Because if you apply that same level of dedication to anything, then it just, I always say it becomes until, right? Because it's not if, it's until, because now you're so focused and so dedicated.
100%.
It's when I get that goal, because it's, you've taken out the iffy factors of it.
Yeah. And you know, it's a good point, because when I was competing, I realized, well, not realized, but I've learned, I became a better coach, you know, because when clients don't understand, like when they're like, oh, I want to achieve this body. And I'm like, okay, well, this is the things that are necessary to achieve this body. It's not just about, you know, achieving this body. You're looking at this specific body for inspiration, but you don't realize what goes into that. Mm. Your whole lifestyle changes. The way you live your life currently will change. You know, and I think I really, when I coach my clients, I'm like, I know what it's like not to drink alcohol, not to have like what I call, I don't like to say cheat meals anymore. I actually don't believe in that anymore. Like if reward meals or enjoyment meals, you really learn, like, cause they'll say to me, oh, but I can't drink, or I got to take my wine out, or I can't like have a, I'm like, no. Not if you want that body. You know what I mean? Like, you got to understand. And if you want to change your goal then, because you realize what you may have to take away for a majority of the time of trying to achieve it, then maybe you need to reevaluate what your goals are.
Mm.
You know, and for me with competing, I learned so much about nutrition, so much about transformation and different body types and, you know, carb cycling, carb loading, reverse dieting and all macronutrients and learning about sleep, how important sleep is. I mean, my coach used to yell at me because I used to only get like 4 hours of sleep. And he was like, well, your body's not recovering. And then the minute I would get 8 hours of sleep, my body would be like, in a snap, it would look so different. So I think till this day, I don't look back on competing as a bad thing. I think it was amazing. It was part of my journey.
No, I love
it. But I don't preach it now.
No,
like I won't put it up on my page or anything, because it's an extreme athletic sport for me. That's what how I say it's a sport. It's for athletes. It's for a specific mind. It's for a specific person.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So, and you have to love it.
Oh yeah. And I mean, again, like without going too deep down the rabbit hole of competitive bodybuilding.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that.
So many. We could go on for days about all the negative effects that it can potentially have too. You know?
Yeah, and exactly, because it does. It takes a lot, especially on us women.
I think also
with our hormonal system,
knowing so much about it too, is people don't realize. Like we were talking about this before you came on, and I think this applies to every aspect of life. Is there's a fantasy Instagram portrays, and the physical body is definitely, you know, the amount of drugs you need to take to look a certain way. And that's never spoken about. So people just see the finished product on Instagram, and some of it's natural, but a lot of it's artificial.
Yeah.
Because the body just can't stay in that state for that long a period of time at that level. It's just impossible. And the only way to do that is with performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
And especially for women, what that does to your endocrine systems and your hormone levels, and for men too, like, you know, again, but it gets back into this artificial reality. Like we live in this way that we're seeing stuff that doesn't actually exist. Or if it does exist, it exists in a way that we don't realize.
Yeah, because you're looking at a picture on Instagram, or you're looking at pictures that are from a show, but you have no idea what that person has done.
Correct.
Or if they've taken anything, like you don't know anything.
Yep.
And also they have a specific body type that goes into a lot of things. You know,
and then to loop it around to what we were saying before, though, it goes into everything. Like we see somebody on Instagram who has a yacht, but we don't look at the fact that maybe they worked 28 years and never spent time with their family to get that yacht. So that's
100%.
Like so we don't look at, we see a guy walking with his kid, but we don't see the fact that he hasn't seen his kid in 2 years, or he missed.
Or maybe his kid doesn't really know him.
Or he doesn't know his kid.
So he might have a big bank account and be really successful in the outskirts of life. But like the people that matter the most, you don't have a relationship with. There's a friend of mine that had to reevaluate the time he spent with his son, because there was a moment of him realizing, oh my God, my son doesn't know me.
Yeah.
And that's for some people, that's a horrible feeling.
But I think, you know,
some fathers anyway, like,
I think, you know, I think it's, we're all faced with it now. It used to be, you know, I think society has transitioned so much. You know, I grew up in a household where my mom raised us and didn't go to work until I was 21 years old, which I don't think is the norm anymore. But I never really got to know my father in that intimate way because my dad was always working. So, my male role model was that of work as much and as necessary as possible. And that does serve a purpose in building a business, right? Because you look at someone who is never around on weekends. I always say I saw my father every seventh birthday because that's the day it would fall on his day off. So every 7 years I'd see him for my birthday. And if it was a day he had work, he didn't take off. And it wasn't just for me. It was for anything in life, Christmas, every holiday. Yeah. So that was my male role model growing up. Now, I love him. I admire him to death. But as your business evolves and you evolve as a person, that work mentality doesn't necessarily serve you, because what you find yourself doing is working 80 hours a week. And then you question what we were talking about before, which is, what is your definition of success?
Yeah. And like I was saying to you, you're right, because 3 years ago, 4 years ago, my definition of success is totally different than my definition of success right now. You know, and I was also brought up in a household where my dad was like, you got to work really hard. If you want X, Y, and Z, you got to work. Like, you got to put the time in. And it's benefited me tremendously, you know, but now I'm also in a place where I'm like, do I want to work 80 hours a week and have no life? Like, life goes by so fast. And I think, when you put all that time in and energy, and sometimes you do lose things building something or creating something, you start losing things that are important to you. And I think that's when you get to reevaluate. And some people don't. Some people just keep riding out with it, you know? And I think right now our generation is really talking about being present and being mindful, and it hasn't been talked about as much as it's been talked about right now.
And it's ironic because, you know, we talk about presence and mindfulness, yet we've never been less mindful and less present than ever before. And I didn't realize it until I had worked like, I don't know, 20 days in a row up until last weekend. And last Saturday or Sunday and Monday, I shut my phone off for 48 hours. Completely off, like couldn't get in touch with me. Sent an email to my team.
Okay, you said an email.
Yeah, I told my parents. You know, like my mom still is that Italian mom who, like, if she doesn't hear from me on a daily basis, like I'm like, hey, ma, alive, like, you know, like, if you need me. And I sent an email to my team. Hey, like, you know.
So what made you do that?
You know, it just doesn't stop. So like, and I didn't realize until I turned my phone back on, saw the little green tab, 88 text messages, 175 emails, all these Instagram messages, and my phone time, what started it was I had 3 hours and 15 minutes of screen time the week before daily. And I'm like, man, I'm on my phone 3 hours a day. Like that's insane.
Yeah, add that up for the week, for the month,
that's an
for the
eighth
year.
Of my day is on the phone, and I sleep 8 hours. So now when you look at waking hours, that's like a fifth of my day was spent on a device. That's a fucking problem. And you don't realize it until you look at it in that perspective.
Yeah.
Now let's look at the 3 hours. I could have rather been at the gym, been on a walk, actually been present on the walk I was on instead of on my phone. Like you go through all these different things. I'm like 3 hours. I could have gone and seen Lion King, which I've been avoiding because I want to go see it for the past month. Like, I was like, this is insane.
Yeah. You start thinking of how you can use that time. Like, how could I have used that time? That time. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
That's it.
Then I was like, wait, I'm 192 pounds. And June 1st, I was 176 pounds. So I gained 16 pounds in 60 days over summer. It's supposed to be the opposite in summer. But I'm like, if I just cut out my phone usage, I'd have an extra hour and a half to go to the gym. You know? Like, so you look at it in terms of like those life issues, and I'm going, did I gain any value to my life by being on my phone that much? And the answer is absolutely no. Was I more productive? No. Was I more focused? No. And I know we were shooting the shit before for 45 minutes. I was less focused. I'm less productive. When I came back, I answered all my emails beginning of the morning and I had the most productive day. And now I need to start to rethink how I handle my day and how I use a phone within that context because it is a complete distraction.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm a little bit in that space of like how obviously – we have the tool of Instagram as being great for our business, right?
Yep.
And like people don't even look at, like I said, they don't even look at your website anymore. They go right into the Instagram. So you feel like you have to be on there because you're going to lose.
Correct.
Almost like it's going to take away if you're not posting, if you're not putting in the stories, it's going to take away from your life. But we really don't realize it's actually taking away from the you living life live right now.
Yes.
Right. So like you said, it's like, is it providing value? Like I know people that have full online businesses, but do they structure out like, okay, this is, I'm going to plan all my content and then I'm going to do the stories and then that's it. How much time do you still spend scrolling? Did someone like my picture? Do I have to answer? Like, and I'm not saying these things are bad. Like these things aren't bad. I just, for me, it's really important to like really, I don't want to say plan out your day, but like, okay, you're only going to go on Instagram for X amount of time. I'm not going to spend, because now 3 hours, but what's the value? If you could line up what you did on there that provided value, like, okay, I got 2 inquiries, people, that's all I answered. Posted something, I answered my 2 inquiries, that's it, I'm not on it anymore. But when you were on it for that other time, what happened?
Well, I probably thought like, oh, that guy's abs are better than mine.
So you know,
I like that. Like, I'm like, damn.
So that, yeah, yeah.
You get into, I actually feel it almost is detracting because we see smidgets of people's lives.
That's
it. You don't, and you don't see anything ever negative. You know, and I always joke about there's so much, everything on Instagram is almost positive, right? So I give this example. I have a friend who is about to get divorced. And if you look on Instagram, they live the most adorable, loving family. They hate each other, but they're not going to put that on Instagram. Like, it's like, I woke up, they're like, we're so in love. I'm like, dude, you're talking about filing. Like, they're both literally about to file for divorce. She wants him out of the house. Like, and I'm like, but on social, they have this like beautiful life. And I'm like, no, not if you know them personally. Like, and I'm like, if you apply that rule to almost everybody else, like you look at celebrities, there's no struggle. Or you look at athletes, like not a lot of people talk about the actual grind. And then I think the other problem you see is you only see the finished product, right?
Yeah.
So I only see you in your current state.
Yeah.
I don't see the work you put in to get to your current state. I just see, hey, Lee's in great shape. She fucking gets after it. She's got a great business. She kills it. And now I'm not me personally, but I think by and large, people are instantaneously envious of that.
Mm.
And they don't look and go, shit, well, she woke up at 6 a.m., 6 days in a row, taught classes, taught clients. Oh, and then by the way, put her own 90-minute workout in, fasted, you know, like all the things that go into wanting to be and look a certain way. People bypass that and they just see the, oh shit, she's in great shape.
See, and to me, that's more important. That's realistic. That's real. Yeah, the fact that I wake up at 4:30 in the morning every morning. I have a 6 a.m. client every day. And right now I'm actually in the process of not working nights anymore because I want to be the business owner and the creator and the one that's building the business because I have put my time in. You know, and I don't want to be working morning and nights. As much as I love what I do, it takes away from, you lose the love.
Yep.
You lose the love, you lose the passion. And then what's the purpose then? Why are you doing what you're doing? Mm. You know, and like, that's why even with Instagram, it's like, where's the purpose? Where's the specifics? Where's the value? How am I creating those three things? And am I carving out a specific time frame? I'm going to use it and then I'm going to put it to the side.
Mm.
You know, it's the same way you saying to your whole team for 48 hours, I am not going to be on my phone. I'm not going to be on my phone. You know, so you got to like carve that time out. So like when people say, I don't have time, I hate that.
Yeah.
You create the time.
As I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm thinking about how I overslept
this
morning.
I can't work out. You can't work out. You watch TV for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe you can get an at-home workout in. So like, it's just like we put these narratives and these stories in our head, right? You don't even realize the conversations that you have. You're scrolling. You're like, oh, she has a great body. Oh my God, he has a great body. Oh my God, I feel really gross today. Like, look at her body. And like, you start diving yourself into this hole. And then you're like, oh my God, I just spent 10 minutes diving myself into a hole. Now I feel like crap because I looked at this one picture.
Mm.
Like, it's nuts. And it's lately I've been deleting Instagram. I've been deleting it. So I can't even have the habit of looking at it.
Ah.
So that's what I've been doing. And then if I want to post something like, yesterday I put a post up and then I just deleted it and then I didn't scroll or I didn't, like, you just don't realize that you just tap it, especially when it becomes a habit. And for me, I'm like, well, what do you do when you want to break a habit? You got to kind of do the opposite of it.
Yep.
So if it's right there in your face and you keep tapping it, delete it. Mm. It's not in your face anymore.
So this is obviously just from talking to you and getting to know you a little bit, there's obviously a deep drive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Huge drive.
Huge drive there. Where does that drive come from?
You know what? This is a really great question. My dad was a very hard worker and we weren't brought up with a lot. And I think naturally I watched that. And I created my drive from not having things.
I share that with you. I mean, just to preface this.
So like, I'm not saying we were poor. We were not poor. My dad did, you know, my dad did the best he could to bring us up, but we didn't come from money.
We didn't have silver spoons in our mouths.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it was a little easier for me. I think my sister tells me stories like it was actually harder. My mom would say it was harder when because my sister is 8 years older than me. And my brother's 9 years older than me. So there was a big, but watching my dad just work and just take care of his family.
Yeah.
And literally that's all he did. And that's what made him happy. That's all he did. The simplicity. It was simple. But there was a lot of things that he used to say to me. And this is one thing. He said to me 2 times, Lee, you got to really work hard for what you want. Like you want to, I would be like, okay, dad, I want to like, a cell phone at 15. He's like, okay, well then you got to get a job.
Yep.
And then I started working at 14.
Yeah.
Started saving my money. And I guess I learned at a young age, like what work is like and having to pay bills. And I started learning that at a young age. Not everybody does that. And then I was like, oh, well, if I have money, then I can make this and have that and do this. And, you know, and then it just started, building from there. And I'll never forget. He also said to me, this might sound harsh, but he said, when I'm 6 feet under, I want to know that you can support yourself and you don't have to rely on any man to take care of you. And he said that to me a few times. And my parents have been married over 40 years. So it has nothing to do with like having a divorced family, which I understand. But he was always like, I need to know that you can take care of yourself and you can support yourself. And it was really interesting that he says that because like, it's just, I don't know where that came from him, but he always instilled that in me. And that's like, I just have this drive of just, I don't believe in I can't. Like I never believed in I can't. Like this is what you want. You want to, you know, you want to be a dancer. Then you're going to try harder to be a dancer. You want to go to college. You're going to go to college and, you know, get your degree. I had a gift basket business when I was in college. You want to do that? Do that. Like I never had this I can't in my head. It was always like, I get to do this and how am I going to do it? How do I do it? Figure it out. How do we do this? And I think that's the reason why, like, if I look at all my, what I call my dreams, I've accomplished everything I say that I wanted to accomplish. So, and I never gave up. And even with dancing, like I tried really hard, but I realized that that wasn't my path. So I keep trying for something that I know in the universe, that's not what I'm meant to do. So you're trying, that's why it's not working. You're not, I just felt it, that that wasn't my path. You know, there was more than that. And then I just took the curveball and I went the other way because I had another passion and the passion had to do with training and fitness and people and making an impact is something that I love to do, you know, creating connection with people and stuff like that. But yeah, my drive comes from not having much. And then you talk about that word success. And this is something that I've learned over the last year, how money does not, one thing I learned is money does not, money makes life easier. It does not bring happiness.
Definitely. It makes life, I always say money is convenience.
It makes life easier, right?
Makes it convenient.
Oh, I could travel. I could do this. I could pay my bills. I don't have to worry. It does. But when you start, when you start thinking that that's, you need a lot of it, and then you're like, oh my God, I'm burnt out.
Yep.
And I'm not that happy right now. What happened?
Yep.
You know, you reach that. I think that's what happened with me. And then I said, oh, reevaluate now. Now you got to reevaluate.
I think also like with the increase in money, you start to acquire more things and things just inherently become more stressful. Like you have all these things. You might drive instead of one car, you have 2 cars.
Yeah, I just got rid of my car.
you get a nicer car. I sold one of my cars last year. I had 2 cars.
I love cars.
Yeah, I love cars.
That's like my thing.
And I sold it, but I didn't need it, you know, and because it would actually cause me stress. Like, because it would be like, where am I going to park my car? And where am I going to put my car? And if I park it there, it actually became like a nuisance. Like, and then I was like, it's taking up my garage and I need my garage for my space. Like, I needed to put my tools in my garage. And then if anyone went near my car, it was like, so one day I was just like, fuck it, and sold the car. I miss it every once in a while, but life's a lot stressful.
So you don't have a car?
I have a truck, but like for work. Like, okay, I don't have a car. I enjoy the experience of actually driving.
I just got rid of my car and I've had a car since I'm 19.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I don't want more bills.
Exactly.
I'm like, I could, it's not that I can't, it's I don't, for what?
Yeah.
For what? And I don't drive it. I mean, I'm in the city. I live. So for me, it's like, what's your priorities right now? What's important? Like, do you need a car right now? No. Is it serving you right now? No. You know, you could be using the X amount of money to invest in your business or to save or to travel or do other things and have a car that you don't even drive. And it's a car, you know, eventually, but right now. Yeah.
Although, you know, I mean, I looked at it and said, is the joy of the car bringing me worth the expense and the maintenance of having it? Mm. Right. And at a certain point I was like, first off, we live in New York. So driving cars in New York inherently is not fun, because when you compare that to like California, where there's a lot of open roads and no potholes, it's a much different experience. So, so for right now, you know, that was the other problem, is I'd bang my rims all the time and my OCD would kick in and I have to get them, keep on getting them redipped. So anyway, but life didn't get worse with less. It actually just got easier, you know? And I think the acquisition of goods definitely does not bring happiness by any means, you know? Yeah. And I think we were talking again, like that definition of success is something that I've now like started to really contemplate in my life and say, hey, what does true success mean? Right. And so part of that definition for me was true success is providing within the framework of my business, the platform for other people to become successful with what they want. And that brings me joy.
That's great. Right?
And like, so I can provide a great environment for my team and my team can accomplish their goals. And inherently now that makes me feel good. And I'm like, oh, that's a really good way to feel good, right? I'm having a positive impact on other people's lives. We've also like reframed how we work. And instead of people working for me, I work for them, right? So I now am of service to my team, right? Okay. So anything they need makes their life better is what I'm here to provide. And in doing that, I've become much more grateful for the team. But I've also been able to actually connect with the people I work with on a much deeper level, because now as they accomplish their goals and I accomplish it, inherently helps me accomplish mine. It's a win-win there. And that's been a huge mind shift change for me. I think, and the other thing that really has helped me, and you talk about getting up at 4:30 in the morning, is there's a great book called Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. I don't know if you follow him.
No, I
don't. An ex-Navy SEAL, and he gets up every morning at either 3:30 or 4:30 a.m. and just posts a picture of his watch. And then you feel bad. You should check out his Instagram account. He gets after it. But he has this book. And ultimately, the premise of the book is every decision and action that's happened in your life is your responsibility. The choice is, you just need to take accountability for it.
Yeah. So I believe that.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in that.
And we don't want to. We want to always put blame on somebody else.
Yeah. And you're like, well, why'd this happen to me? Yeah. And you're like, no, actually you create your reality.
Yeah.
You know, you create your reality, your choices, your decisions, your patterns, your habits, the way you think, how you think of things, your perception, all of that. You know, when you meet someone, like just everything that happens, and some people would fight this because they would go in, like, deeper into it. Mm-hmm. Right. But I do believe in that. Yeah. I'm a big believer in like choices and decisions.
So as you're saying that, I want to, why the choice to create FitBride, and what was the motivation to now scale?
You know, that fell actually in my lap. Like, I got inspiration as the creator that I am, like the person that loves to create and build. I had one bride. I probably could say her name. Her name's Mallory, and she was at Orange Theory when I used to teach. And she was like, Lee, you know, I'm getting married in 5 months. You know, I really want to, like, you know, telling me her goals and all that stuff. Started training her, started posting her stuff. And it just literally started to happen. And then I got like another bride and another bride. And I was just like, all right, we're going to, like, I have a niche here. Mm-hmm. Like, it just came about just by that, you know? And then I was like, Fit Bride by Lee. And like, we're going to custom. Cause now it was like, in 1 year, I had, I don't even know, like 10 brides in 1 year. And that was without me even marketing anything. That was just like me posting pictures on, you know, I didn't even have the 12-week Fit Bride program yet and like all this stuff. And I was really good at it. And I said, all right, this is going to be my niche, because now I'm in an industry where it's very saturated and, you know, everybody's doing everything already. So it's like, you're either unique, you bring your people because you're unique and they want to work with you, or you could create this thing. And I think that's how FitBride became born. Mm. And now we've worked with a lot of brides over the last 2-3 years.
And
so,
I know you mentioned building out an online platform. Can you just talk a little bit about what's involved in that?
Yeah, I'm really interested in building an online platform to go worldwide, you know, take Fit Bride worldwide. And what is going to make it unique is that I'm going to bring in mindful coaching, you know, teaching people how to listen to their thoughts, you know, teaching people the natural thing of like mindset, like teaching, like you coaching yourself. You know, how you think, how you act, your choices when you go out to dinner, your choices when you drink alcohol, your choice, like everything, like just kind of teaching them the basics of mindfulness and awareness. And that's going to create a better result, because if you're aware of how you think, what you say, you know, your choices when you go out, that's going to help us dive deep into your Fit Bride program. Then you're going to get your workout in. You're going to be present. You're going to prep your food. You're going to track your food. You're going to stay on top of things, and it's going to keep you in alignment with the goals. So that's, and I want to do a lot of videos with that where they can actually, I want to provide value where I could actually talk about, like, so when you're sitting at a dinner table, what's the first thing that goes on the table?
Bread.
Okay, exactly. So like, I'm going to dive deep into that. So what are your choices? Like, if you know you have, if you know that you've said you have this plan you want to follow, right? Your choice right now is your light bulb is going to go on one thought. It's going to say, boom, bread, not even going to think.
Cucumber.
The other one that's actually mindful and aware and present is going to be like, I don't really need that because I want to have like pasta for my enjoyment meal today. So it's more about like creating that mindfulness through it. And I think that when people can really listen to themselves and understand, like, listen, understand yourself. Why do you do things? And you have the choice to, you have choices. No, yes, I really want that. But because I have this goal and I'm in alignment with my goal and I said I was going to do X, Y, and Z, I'm not going to have that. You know, so it's that's kind of what I want to bring to Fit Bride Online is like, because my interaction with people, like the reason why I have been successful is partly is because of who I am, you know, and like, I love people and I'm like, let's get you to be the best you can be and get you to wherever your goals are. How can we do that? You know? So now it's like, now I'm taking that online, but I'm not live anymore. Yeah. Coach Lee's not live. So how can she bring that value in that package? And a lot of it is the mindful coaching. A lot of it is, it has to do with like, you know, those specific things, not just like, here's your program and here's your nutrition plan. Like, I do accountability check-ins. We weigh, we measure, we take, you know, your body fat. We take 360 pictures. We talk about how was your week going? Where's your trials, tribulations? We celebrate your victories. We celebrate the things you did well, not the things that you only did bad. And the mind automatically goes to, I'm like, so how was your week? And they automatically, it goes like this. I didn't do this. I said, I didn't say what you didn't do. I said, how was your week? So it's like kind of bringing that into fruition of like, your week doesn't mean tell me the 5 things that you didn't do right. Your week means, oh, I got my 5 workouts in, tracked all my food, you know, like worked out the way I needed to, tracked all my food, prepped my food. And over the weekend I had 3 meals that I enjoyed. Maybe I should have had 1, but I had 3, but they go into like, dial right into like the bad or the negative or what you didn't do. And it's just how the mind operates. Yeah. And that right there is practicing mindfulness, because you chose to tell me the bad versus what you've been doing good. So it's kind of, and then they're like, oh, I didn't know that was an option, you know, and it's kind of bringing all that awareness. So like, I don't want to like put myself into like, oh, she's a mindful coach, but I am. I practice mindfulness and awareness, and that creates presence. And when you're mindful and aware and it creates presence, your choices and decisions are going to be very different.
I mean, I think too, just to like add on to what you're saying, like, you know, it's as simple as like salad over pasta, right? Like, one makes you feel like shit. One's going to make you feel good inherently. Like, you know, like you eat a bowl of pasta. I don't know that many people feel good after that. It's comparatively.
They feel
like,
good when they eat it.
Yeah. Right? Well, the initial mouth sensation. Yeah. And then the
But see, that's another thing too, is I talk about is guiltiness. Yeah. When you have pasta, why are you guilty? Did you enjoy it? So that's the question. I'll be like, okay, yeah. I had pasta. So I'll say, okay, you had pasta. Now you feel guilty. So now why even have it? Yeah. You didn't even enjoy it.
Correct.
Have it and enjoy it.
Yep.
Don't have it enjoy it. And the next day you're crying about it.
Or have it, earn it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's why I say I don't like cheat meals. Like when I was competing, it would be like cheat meals. I'm like, I'm not cheating. I'm enjoying a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
So now going, as I've grown into this coach, I'm like, language is really important.
It's like diet.
Like bad food, good food. There's no, of course, obviously there's preservatives, sure. There's sugars, obviously, yes. But when you put that, when your mind hears bad food, good food, it's like every time I eat pasta, bad. Every time I have a slice of pizza, bad. I had 3 glasses of wine, bad. You're not, but you're enjoying your life.
Yeah.
So how is it bad? It's bad when you overdo it.
Mm.
It's bad when you have it every day, right? So I think languaging too, when I coach people, is very important.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like the word diet, dying to eat something.
Yeah, like diet. Yeah, like sometimes you say, okay, how is your diet? It doesn't mean you're on a diet. It just means, so that's another thing when you say that word diet, because diet could equal restriction.
Or it could equal dying. Like I would say, like the word diet is like, I'm either dying to eat something, I'm dying. Like it's just, even like the premise of the word, the way it's spelled.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
the word death and diet, you know, or dying to eat something.
Well, it looks like there's a takeaway from it. There's like a gringiness to it.
Yeah, but it also gets into like, you know, when you apply that same framework to anything in life, what are the repercussions of this simple action, right? So I could either get up early or I could either put the work in. And a lot of the times it's easier to just make an excuse. Like our mind always wants to take the easiest path.
Mm-hmm.
But when we take the harder path, I feel like, A, you build more moral character, but that's also life is not an easy path, you know, and people who haven't been faced with adversity and have taken the easy route their whole life probably are not very fulfilled because they haven't had to earn what they have.
Yeah. And I think to go into that is scarcity, which paralyzes people because they're scared and they're fearful. So they just they go onto the easy path and they don't want to think outside the box, you know, and then they look at the people that are fulfilled and happy and like create these big businesses or, you know, have these lives, but they don't realize, oh, that person took risks. That person had like -1,000 in the bank. That person got their car repo to get where they are. Like, so people go the safe route.
Yeah.
And this is a conversation I've had with my dad. I'm like, I'm a risk taker.
Yeah.
You know, and he never taught me that because my dad was not a risk taker. I'm sorry, dad, when you listen to this.
Yeah, my dad
but he was very,
too.
You know, I go to work, I pay the bills, and I, you know, I get it though. He had a family at a young age. He had other people he had responsible for. I don't right now. You know, even for my sister, we have this conversation of like, when you have to take care of other people, it's very different, your decisions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're like a crappy parent, but.
No, the responsibility and the framework of that, like, you know, for like, I look at Gabe who works in our office, like every decision he makes, he's got a 5-year-old daughter and 2 twins, you know, at home twins are a year.
Yeah.
The amount of responsibility that goes into being caring for those 3 lives, like I'm sure he'd like to fuck off and sleep in. That's just not an option. His kids wake up at 6 o'clock, drops one off at school, comes to work at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like that, his life is not governed by that. It's governed by raising his children.
Yeah.
And inherently that is that. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
So I have personally, with not having 3 children at home, you know, from a business perspective, you look at it 1 of 2 ways, but I have the free time. I have a lot more free time, of which I can pursue my entrepreneurial endeavors comparatively to somebody who has to raise 3 children.
Yeah.
And they need to be a lot more cognizant of their time comparatively.
100%. Yeah. And they're, you know, my sister has 2 children. Mm-hmm. I have 2 nieces, and just watching her be a mom and like work full time and my brother-in-law working, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. It's tough. But you can also say it's hard, but it's part of life. You know, when you have a family, that's what happens. You know, it takes a lot of time. But you can really appreciate when people know how to juggle everything. You're like, oh, I can fill my plate up big, like fill my plate up and be fulfilled and happy. And like, yeah, you're a little tired. That's part of life. You know, you don't get no sleep when you have children. but I've seen people like do it all and be happy. And then I've seen people do it all and not be happy. So, you know, it's also your perception of how you think of it.
Mm.
Oh, I have kids and now I got to wake up. Like if you just complain about everything, then it's going to be that. It's going to be that.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, you know, when you're excited about it, like I have 3 kids, love what I do. Yeah, I get up, I'm tired, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this. And if you keep like kind of feeding the positive aspect of it, that's how you're going to start living your life. But if you feed the complaining, nagging, then that's how you're going to live your life. You understand? There's like 2 different.
I mean, it's definitely easier to live with the complaining.
Yeah. People with children. I just think being a mother is like one of the hardest jobs
for sure
to bring up humans.
Yeah.
You know, and just like
I wouldn't have wanted to raise me. So I was a pain in the ass. So.
Yeah, watching my sister, I have just a tremendous amount of respect for women that have children and good moms.
Yeah.
Sorry, but whoever's bad mom. But
hey, listen, they're out there.
But, you know, and it's also your perception of what a good mom is and a bad mom is, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, I think objectively there's some people who should not be parents.
Yeah, true.
We take the test to drive a car. We don't take tests to be parents. And, you know, I mean, there's people who I think... And men, for that matter, you know, who should not.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I agree. Yeah, we got into this whole... I don't know where this got into, but okay.
So what's on the horizon right now?
Reinventing and exploring.
Okay.
You caught me, like I said this to you before, you caught me in a place in my life where I'm asking myself, what is going to bring you... joy and fulfillment that has nothing to do with business.
Mm.
And then also in the question of in business, what's going to bring you joy and fulfillment? And I'm actually in a space where I'm asking myself this question and I don't exactly have the answer, but what I am going to build is FitBride. I do know that FitBride is going to go online. I want to build my team a little bit more, maybe hire another two trainers. I was thinking of opening my own place. Not sure if I really want to do that right now. Mm. I want to travel the world and I want to be able to have my freedom.
Then don't open your own place.
To be honest. Yeah.
Open your own
yeah,
place.
Yeah, seriously. And I know that like I'm a hard
I say
worker.
That with total love. Don't open your own place if you want to travel the world.
Okay. So like that's like kind of what's going on. It's like I'm in a space of exploring, reinventing. I've reached so many of my goals over the last 3-4 years and I've made great money, right? Like, so
making money is easy.
Yeah. So like, that's what I said to you when we were talking earlier. I said, I realize, and I hate to say it. Some people are probably like, what do you mean? No, making money is easy, but like actually living passionately and living fulfilled. Like that's life.
Yeah.
And I just learned that, to be really honest, over the last year and change.
Well, let me rephrase that.
I just learned
making money in this country is easy.
Okay.
Like, we live as fucked up as the United States is right now, and everyone wants to complain.
And there's just the so president, much all this thing. 100%. Going on, right? There's endless possibilities. Like, how can you? There's endless possibilities
endless.
Here.
In this country, even in 2019,
we have no boundaries.
We have, by far and large, we're not in a communist or a socialist regime. We have endless opportunity here still to this day. Even with all the things going on in our country.
Yes, 100%.
So, here there is endless possibility.
It doesn't make it easy, right?
Yeah, no one said it's easy. No.
But it's there.
It is there to be taken.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people make too many fucking excuses. And the bottom line is, you know, people come
people
to me all the time.
People don't want
to
work.
The harder you work, the luckier you get. The people don't want to put the work in. You know, people come to me and say, hey, Anthony, I want to build a successful this or I want this. I'm like, okay, work.
It's
what
the one
do?
Word, the
work.
Want. I love the word.
I want. I want. What do you want to do? I want to be a real estate entrepreneur. Go to work for a real estate developer who's been successful and tell him you'll work for free for 6 months as his protege or filling up coffee cups in the office. Wait, what? I'm like, yeah, bro. Guess what? If you do that and you fill that coffee cup up amazing every day, they're going to be like, oh shit, this kid fills great coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe he can run this errand, or maybe he can. And next thing you know, you're working for the largest real estate developer as his personal assistant. And next thing you know, you're learning how to develop real estate from the ground up. Yeah. And 5 years later, you're pursuing a dream.
Yeah. And see, and that's a big thing, right? So like, what is he willing to sacrifice to do something he loves to do? Work for free and learn.
And nobody
put
wants
your time in.
Nobody wants to pay their fucking dues and nobody wants to put the work in.
Yeah.
And I preach that shit to the end. It's look, I came from, we sound like we come from very similar backgrounds.
Yes.
We come from definitely the same ethnic background. Puerto Rican father, Italian mothers, and we're both from Queens. And we grew up to give context, I grew up in a very similar household. My dad worked, mom stayed home. Dad worked his ass off. Put the fucking work in and then you get the end result. And people want to skip A, go to Z when there's 24 more letters in the alphabet that you need to cross off.
Yeah.
And that shit makes me furious.
Yeah. It does. It makes me furious.
It makes me irate.
I get very passionate about it.
You know, but did you put the time in? It incites anger in me because I literally, you know, I had somebody come to me recently and they said, you know, I want you to show me how to do something. And I'm like, 100%, bro. I got you. Be at my house tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. sharp. Now, I gave him a half hour buffer because I was leaving at 8:30. Okay. But if you're not there at fucking 8 o'clock, I'm out. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a text, bro, I'm so sorry, I overslept. I'm like, it's cool, bro.
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. I'm like, it's cool, man. I totally get it. But he goes,
I've had like seven clients by that time.
I'm like, I'm already 3 hours away doing what I need to. And he's like, should I come? I'm like, no, dude, like the day's over. And he's like, I don't get it. I'm like, bro, it's you have to be ready to commit, and showing up on time is the bare premise. Like, and that like gets me furious. So you didn't really want it. Mm. You thought you did, but you didn't. If you did, you would have shown up. You would have put the work in. You would have, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, I have a girl working in my office right now. Her name is Yosady. And for whatever reason, she wanted to work for this company, right? Like,
whatever reason. I don't know why she wanted
to work. It's a good place to work. But she knocked on the door. I wasn't here. She came back, spoke to Gabe, gave him a resume. Okay. Came back again, right? Still, you ain't getting my attention yet. Like, I'm busy shooting weddings. It's wedding season. Sent me an email.
Persistent.
She's been here a year and a half now, and she built herself a job. Right? Like, I didn't give her the job. She created one for herself.
How'd she find you?
I have to ask her, but I think online, and probably the fact that I have a Spanish last name, and when she came to this country, her English probably wasn't good. So, you know, backing out the fact she knew that we were bilingual, she could get a job in her field that she wanted.
That's huge. I didn't even know that. That's great.
She created a job for herself here.
Yeah.
Props to that, right?
Yeah,
how many people knock on the door that many times?
Think of how, you know, like... Like when you look at a person, you're like, they're like, wow, this girl's persistent. That means there's a drive in her.
Correct.
You know? And that's inspiring.
I used to go door to door this is back when people actually had like more physical office space. But when I was 23 years old, I used to go door to door to wedding planners with my books, like literally like with an album, and knock on the door and be like, hi, my name is Anthony. I'm a wedding photographer. Will you look at my work? And I literally, like, I went back to some people's offices 9 and 10 times. And then eventually at the time I was young, they'd be like, all right, like, we have to look at this kid's stuff. And you know, rejection is rejection's an amazing thing.
That's a whole other topic. You know, but rejection.
In order to look, anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur, you better be used to getting rejected.
Yeah, because you better you're gonna be face used way to falling. More rejected. You better be used to falling.
And shit, you better be able to pick yourself up.
Hell because, yeah.
No one, by yourself. And I always say, no one fucking cares. Right? Like, it's at the end of the day, you're responsible for yourself.
Yeah, I hate to say, you are. You're responsible for yourself 100%.
As an entrepreneur, no one wants to hear your excuse. Your clients don't. Your coworkers don't. The people who work for you don't. And you may preach it, but no one cares. Like, you are accountable for what you created.
Yeah.
And no one fucking cares. So if you can't get after it, shut up and get. And it really, like, as hard as it is, it's that simple too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, what did it take for you to just be like, you know what? I'm just going to go to every single place and just be like, look at my book. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, what did that take? You didn't get paid for that.
I used to shoot weddings. I mean, listen, when I was younger, if you were telling me, hey, my name's Lee, I'm getting married in Puerto Rico. Okay, cool, I'm there. Like, buy me a plane ticket or whatever. And I would shoot for free consistently. But ultimately, that just sharpened my tool, right, which was the camera and my ability to take pictures and my ability to be in front of people. And putting in that work was like going for a master's degree in life. You know, and ultimately, I did that all for free or at my own cost. Huh. And that's what makes someone who they are. Like, no one's going to give you anything in life. You have to go get it yourself. And a lot of times you need to put yourself out there.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. You got to take a risk and you have to know that with taking risks, we fail and we fall. And I think failing, like when people say, oh, I failed. Yeah. But you got a lesson out of it.
Yeah.
Like if you don't learn from anything that you fail from, like, to me, that's not a failure. You know, it's part of life. We're going to fall. We're going to make poor decisions that may lead us on this path. I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go on that path. And, you know, that's when you get to reevaluate and make a different decision. And, you know, so I think failing is great, to be honest, because then how do you know success if you don't fail? You got to fail and you have to be able to handle failing. You cannot be a sore loser. I know many people that are sore losers. They don't like to lose. And I actually taught me and my niece, we were playing the game Operation. Me and my niece, Savannah and Hazel. I love them. They're like, I just love them, adore them. And I had a really, like, my sister's like, this is a good conversation you're having with her, because I've had it with her. And I said, Savannah, you're going to fail. That's part of life, baby. And she's only 6 because she hates failing. And I said, don't cheat. Cheetahs don't win. Cheetahs don't win. Okay. And I had to like keep reinforcing it to her while we were playing games because she would just hate, she's a sore loser. And I'm like, you know, and it took her a few times, but I'm like, I can't wait till you get older and you really understand what I'm saying to you, but be okay with failing sometimes. It only is going to make you work harder. Yes. That's all. You know, and then after like kind of we're playing all these games and like after like the third or fourth game, she stopped showing with her actions that she was getting frustrated if she wasn't winning, you know? And I think that's really, me and my sister are looking at each other. We're like, my God, we've worked so hard. And my sister's brought up the kids so different than us. And we talk about it all the time. I'm like, I didn't have no big house in Jersey. And, you know, they're bringing up the kids amazing, you know? And my, she worked for it though. So just different lives and different everything. But yeah, so that lesson is cute when you're telling a, you know, a 6-year-old that's like, I don't want to fail. Why do I got to fail? I'm not winning. I'm like, well, Hazel's always winning. And I'm like, you got to learn to win and lose. Take it all.
It's like going to a kid's soccer game these days and there's no scoreboard. And I'm like, what's the score? We don't keep score. I'm like, yeah, listen, my friend, you do know you don't get a participation award in life. And they're like, no, we just want every kid to feel included. I'm like, okay, again, you don't get a participation award for showing up, you know, when you go to work. Then I can be like, oh my God, you're here today. Thank you for participating. It's not the way the world works. Like, it drives me nuts.
Some
like,
people do. You know, so, well, I mean, got here at the desk. Well, what did you do? At the desk.
It's a, you're going to reward in life. And I think, you know, I think like what you said, you got to be, failing sucks, but within each failure is a blessing in life and a lesson in life that you can learn and grow from. And if, you know, if you can adapt in those, like I had some failures earlier this year. And it's so funny. I was talking to one of my mentors and he was like, dude, I'm so excited for you. And he's like, I'm like, well, are you fucking kidding me? This guy's telling me how excited he is that I failed at something. And you know, and I'm like, and I was like, hey, man, I'm like, and he's like, the lessons that these failures will have brought you. Now he's like, you don't see it at the moment. And as 100%. It's happening, he goes, but a year from now, you're going to look back and you're going to be so grateful and appreciative of what the universe has gifted you in this lesson. And I'm like, and I'm starting to see it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to be like, all right, I'm starting to see. Yeah. Like when you go through some life transitions, you start to say, okay, I see the lessons.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. He called me the other day. He's like all happy and shit about it. He's like, how do we feel today? I'm like, you know, he's like, you see the light at the end of the tunnel? I'm like, I see it. He's like, oh, I'm so excited for you. I'll check back on you next month. And I'm like, this guy is killing me, you know? But I see where he's coming from in that if you didn't go through that, you never would have said, hey, oh shit, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to allow myself to let that happen again. Or I'm never going to make that mistake. Or I'm never going to handle a specific situation again that way.
Yeah.
And if you didn't go through it, you never would have realized that now you have the skill set to handle that when it comes up. And it's, I always turn back to like one of my athletic idols other than Michael Jordan is Steph Curry. And and Steph Curry, like people don't realize, they just see it like this great performing athlete. Now they don't realize that his dad was a professional NBA player. And as a young child, he would be practicing free throws with Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, all these other players. And he had this thing in the gym and it would be, he wouldn't leave the gym until he hit 10 free throws, full swoosh, which if anyone's tried to hit 10 in a row is hard enough, but to hit 10 in a row without the ball ever touching the rim consecutively, he could not leave the gym until that happened. Wow. Now, when you fast forward that over 18 years and you're on the free throw line at game 7 of the NBA finals, it's no big deal. But no one goes back and looks and goes, oh,
yeah, it's
shit.
Almost like, it's almost like the movie that goes from like, okay, there he is, like right there with all the lights, and then just go back to him being like on the court.
And then the regret of the 18 teams or however many passed on him. Because he wasn't 7 foot. He didn't fit the prototypical.
I mean, the chills,
There was a coach who saw something in him and went to the Golden State Warriors and said, who should I draft? Steph Curry. And they're like, why? The coach goes, I've never seen an NBA player put in as much work as this kid had.
Yeah.
Besides Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. He's going to be one of the greatest NBA players ever. And everyone was like, but he's only 6'3". Like there were all these excuses that everyone else made. And this one guy,
what he didn't
have,
right?
No, the lights were off in the gym except for one. And he asked me to stay with him because he had this crazy thing where he needed to hit 10 shots in a row. And I was like, this kid is going to be something special. And he was a teenager at the time. But they saw something in him and they knew he was.
You know what's amazing too? That one person that really believes in you also. I mean, obviously you have to believe in yourself, but like having a cheerleader or the person that's really rooting for you and seeing all the great in you, your greatness, it's powerful too to have that on your team and have that next to you.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think sometimes people, that's a gift that you see something in other people that they don't see in you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's an area.
I just went through something. I mean, I can't really talk about it on here. I was not supposed to talk about it, but I just went through something. I can't say the name of it, but I had this opportunity again to be on TV and made it really towards the end of it, like towards the end of it. And I didn't get it, right? It just recently happened. And it was like weeks of just like, you know, like making it this far and then making this far and then making this far. And then it's like getting it like really so I can touch it. And then it's like, okay, no, sorry. They chose someone else. And I was like, so what I'm saying is the reason why so I'm going back into what's coming up for me right now when we're talking about this is you never know the why to something, right? All I know is I went in there and I gave 100%. I'm not questioning who I am, but what is, you don't know the, why didn't I get chosen? I don't know. And I actually don't care why.
Because I mean, it could have simply been Coach Lee doesn't have black hair and we need someone who has black hair.
It could literally been, she doesn't have 100,000 followers. Whatever. It could have been like the simplest thing. I don't beat myself up over that. Most people would be like, well, then like fall apart. It's more like, where's my lesson in this?
Yeah.
You know what my lesson was too, Ant? I learned a lot of patience. I learned that patience takes practice. And I meditate. I don't know if you know that. Well, if you follow me. I started meditating. This has been a big thing for me this year is meditation and bringing me into presence and being clear and being intentional and specific in how you spend your day, how you spend your hours. And that's why time and life has become so valuable to me that as I told you right now, I'm in this place of exploring and like, I don't want to work at night anymore training. And there's a lot of things that are going to move. And I don't care about if I lose money because I know eventually that always could come back. It's more about like figuring. So there's a lot of like shift right now, but that specific thing, and we're talking about the whole basketball thing and it's just like, I got really, really close. And then I could sit here and be like, boo, let me cry. And like, why is it my body? Is it this? And then I'm like, no, like, I don't know why. Maybe that's it. That's not your path right there. Whatever that was.
I think, you know, if you gave, which I'm assuming and I'm probably guessing from talking to you, you did everything you could and you gave the best of yourself. Then that's that's all.
And
that
that's why I don't second guess. I'm like, Lee, if you walked into the room and you were yourself, if you were your 100% authentic self, then how can you, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not about being better. It's about, you just didn't get chosen. You weren't that person, you know? So, and there's lessons behind that. That doesn't mean it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
It sucks. But then I'm like, oh, what's next then? If this wasn't the next root of it, you know, what is the next root of it? Which is really interesting. It's in a weird place. It's like,
I mean, it could be as simple as if you would have gotten that, whatever it is, we'll say, right? If you take X, well, Y then suffers.
Yeah.
And maybe Y is your path.
100%.
And now you put you 2 years behind the eight ball on where your real purpose lies.
Yeah.
And it's that simple, you know?
And you know, it's funny talking about purpose, like, you know, for these amount of years, this was my purpose. And I think as we grow, we learn and I'm not the same person I was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't have the same knowledge. I have loads of experiences and failures and successes and amazing stories. And so the person that Lee is now, the passions and drive and all that stuff that she had years ago, it's different now. Mm. I'm not changing who I am. I'm evolving.
Yeah.
But it's very different how I see money, how I see success, how I see quality of life, all of these things. It's, if I looked at the lead 6 years ago, she was like grinding, hustling, 4 hours of sleep, working 10 hours, like a beast. Mm. Now I'm like, no, I've put in a lot of my time and I put a lot of knowledge into how important life is and like what you do here is like really important. And how you spend your time, like 3 hours on Instagram.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Unless they're paying you a lot of money to be on it for 3 hours. I'm just saying. Some people do get paid for all of it, right?
Listen, if you do, God bless. Although I almost feel bad for those people because like they're just constantly.
You have to post three posts and you have to make sure you do 10 stories today and we'll give you.
It's too much. They live their life through the phone, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But so just, I want to be totally cognizant of your time. I know you're busy.
Yeah, because I can talk to you all day long. I'm Puerto Rican and Italian, and I love to shit
all day. Yeah, no, I got okay? you.
And look, I'm going like this. Oh my god.
Something I ask every guest I have on is, if you could look back on your life 10 years ago, right?
One of these
and
questions.
One of those questions. If you have one piece of advice, the 10-year younger Lee could give the 10-year older Lee, what would it be?
Never give up. And don't let fear paralyze you. Because I think fear paralyzes a lot of people and you miss out on opportunities. And I think a lot of the world is scared to take risks and they're fearful and they go for what's safe. And that's probably one of my biggest things is the reason why I am where I am is because I've took risks. I wasn't afraid to fail. When I was scared, I didn't paralyze me. It made me go right into it, being scared. And then you don't realize what's on the other end of that door.
I love it.
So that's it.
Nice. So if people want to get their asses in shape and get after it with you.
Yeah, let's talk about rest of the world. Fitness.
How do people hit you up, get in touch with you?
Mostly on my Instagram, Coach Lee, NYC. And then my business is Team Lee Fit.
Okay.
I have a website, same thing, Coach Lee NYC.
Cool.
My Facebook, it's all the same name. All
right. And for my brides who want to get in touch with you, hit you up on Instagram for that 12-week transformation.
Hit me up. I'm the best.
All right. She gets after it. So I want to just take a second. I want to commend you really for coming in and talking to me and sharing your story and just for the work you do. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
Chatting it up with you.
Thank you. I was really excited about this.
So was I. And I appreciate you get after it. And I think I said that on the phone. You know, I think there's people who half-ass shit and there's people who actually commit to what they're doing. And I see in the work you're doing, you commit to it. And I think that's commendable and admirable.
Thank you.
I love it. So we'll keep up with it. And hopefully we'll have another one of these awesome conversations sometime down the future.
Thanks, Sam. You were awesome.
No, my pleasure. Hey, everybody. Doing this has been an absolute journey and an amazing time. I have learned so much, and I want to thank you all for listening in. If you kindly would, we would just ask you for your support. If you've liked the show, if you've gained anything from it, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or any of the other platforms where you are viewing this. We would greatly appreciate it, and it means the world. Thank you so much for listening in. You can find us online at AnthonyVasquezWorkshops.com, as well as on social, on Instagram, Facebook, and on YouTube at Anthony Vasquez Workshops. We look forward to seeing you there.